Shabbat Shalom, everybody. So, the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread are just around the corner. And it says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, as we know, it asks us during this period especially, as we do throughout the year, to examine ourselves and test ourselves to see if we be in the faith. The question really comes down to, how do we test and examine ourselves to be sure that we'll keep the Passover in a worthy manner? I know we examine ourselves all year long, but there's special attention to this period right before the Passover. So one exam question that I ask myself, and you can ask yourself, I know you do probably, is to ask myself, how am I doing? How's my conversion going? If you ask me that, I might say something like, well, I think okay. I certainly hope it's going well. But honestly, I'm not sure how fully and completely converted I am day to day. So first, let's examine, it's always helpful in these kind of circumstances, let's examine the biblical definition of conversion in Matthew 18 and verse 3. Matthew 18 and verse 3. Verily or assuredly, I say to you, Christ says, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So what's the definition of conversion here? I knew it one time, and then I looked at it again, and it surprised me a little. The Greek word here is strepho, and it simply means a change in direction. It means to turn around. It means to turn away from oneself. Now, if you look at the second verse there, whoever then humbles himself as a child, the word humble in the Greek is tapenou, and it means to make low. It means to lower one's rank or place. It means to be ranked lower than others. It's like I felt when Mr. When he lowered this mic to me, I was lowered down, so I felt humble. I felt good about things. So we can all call and look at a list of meaningful personal themes and characteristics that we might look at when we ask ourselves, how are we doing in the conversion process? And there is an observation made by the Apostle Paul about himself in 1 Corinthians 15:31 that I'll be reading from, and it has a great deal of meaning for me. I've been meditating on this scripture quite a bit over the past while. So let's take a look at this, and then we'll get to the title of the message, actually. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I assure you, believers, by the pride, other translations use glory, and I'll read this, by the way, and this is the Amplified Version. There's a reason for it. But Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Paul says, I die daily. There's two meanings that are in the commentary, that are in the commentaries that are they're sort of equally used. One is, I physically die daily. Paul was going through quite a bit in his life. And the other meaning of this scripture, which is usually considered to be the more used meaning, is I die to self daily. So the title of this message is I die daily. And so after reading this scripture, I began asking myself, am I dying daily? Now, I certainly know, we all know the physical side of this scripture. We all know as we get older, you know, the clock is ticking. It's the spiritual side of the question that we're going to talk about today. So let's turn to a sort of a related scripture in Galatians 2, verse 19. Galatians 2, verse 19. And for this scripture, I'm going to read from the Complete Jewish Bible. And there's a reason for it, because there's one word in here that's particularly important to me in this particular scripture related to the issue of dying daily. So let's turn to Galatians 2, verse 19, reading from the Complete Jewish Bible. For it was through letting the Torah speak, the law, the Mosaic law, as well as the New Testament fulfillment of that law, that I died to its traditional legalistic misinterpretation, something the world has missed, that there is a legalistic misinterpretation of the law, that I might have a direct relationship with God. So the apostle said that he died to the law of traditions, but lived through the spiritual law of God, which it says in Romans and other places. The Torah is speaking for itself here. And in verse 20, this is an important scripture. When the Messiah was executed on the stake as a criminal, I was too, so that my proud ego no longer lives, but the Messiah lives in me. The Complete Jewish Bible is the only translation I could find that translates, instead of saying that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, that translates it according to the Greek, which is ego. The actual word is ego, and it actually has the meaning of ego or self-pride. This is not to say, by the way, that Paul or us or anybody dies to self all at once. It's a process, isn't it? It's a matter of overcoming. On any day or any week, we never die completely, or any year, and maybe in a lifetime, we don't die to self daily. And one thing about conversion into a new creation, it can mean sometimes going through a painful change in our identity. You know, all change is difficult, and from being self-focused to being God and Christ focused. You know, the Apostle Paul reminds us, and this scripture comes to mind in here, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, we'll just talk about it, that we're supposed to cast down all arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. This is a well-related scripture to the idea of dying to self. Now, there's a striking example of a self-directed path, turned to a God path, by the Apostle Paul in Acts 9. And I'm going to go through and simply summarize Acts 9, verses 1 through 20. You can turn there or look at it later, but it's a very interesting example of this turning from oneself, of turning around one's life. And it all occurs in one chapter, essentially, which is what makes it interesting to me. So in verse 1 of Acts 9, so Paul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. Now, what occurred to me when I read this is that Saul was acting like what? A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He was acting in a Satan-oriented mode of behavior. He was trying to devour the church of God. And also what comes to mind is that it reflected some of the works of the flesh and works of self listed by the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5:20. You can turn there if you want, but we know the works of the flesh. We know that it deals with contentions and jealousies and outbursts of wrath and selfish ambitions, conceits, and tumults. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm generally aware when I have outbursts. And I'm generally aware when I go to bed at night and I scan the day, how many times I've allowed myself to let myself will, myself dictate how I behave, think, feel, and act. And so we can do those kinds of scans using, there's various lists in the Bible. This is just one. Paul repeats this various list almost exactly in another book, another epistle. But we can scan those days. And sometimes I'm just amazed. And sometimes I'll say to myself, I said what? I did what? I can't believe I still do this. And then there's the repentance coming in. By the way, the word repentance is very interesting. I don't have time to go over it today. But it's a change in mind, a change in the thought process that relate to a change in direction. So in verse 4 and 5 and 6 of Acts 9, just summarizing now, you know, one thing about Paul, and there's no scripture that says what he was really thinking when he was on the way to Damascus to do this damage to the church of God. But you know, I think it's generally safe to say that he felt bold, that he felt he was doing the right thing, that he felt that he was going to bring light to a deceived group of people going that way, as opposed to the way that he thought and the people should go. So here he thinks he's bringing light to a deceived group of people, and then it's not surprising that a light from heaven knocks him down. Knocks him down. And I like to think that it knocked him to his knees, just my own like view of this. And in verse, all the way, if you go to verse 19, after he's knocked down and he's redirected on his path, he was on a path, he was on a way, he was on a direction going to Damascus, and he is completely turned around in his way, his direction of what he's doing on this path. And then in verse 18, he's baptized and at some point receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 20, he proclaims that Jesus is the Son of God in the synagogues. Now, that's an amazing conversion, an amazing turnaround. Now, one thing that is interesting, Adam Clark has an interesting take on this conversion, this turning around by Paul in Acts 9, an interesting take on this. And he says, instead of proceeding as a persecutor and inflicting sufferings on others, I will show him how many things he must suffer. He's talking about what Christ said for preaching the very doctrine that he has been hereto employed in persecuting. And I read a lot of Adam Clark's, and he said a very interesting thing. He says, strange change indeed. A strange change indeed. A strange, unique, powerful turning around and being converted. So as the Passover approaches, maybe we can take a look and scan our day. And we can take a look at how much self-will we've been involved with that day. How much self in terms of what we want to do for ourselves as opposed to doing the will of God. And we can, on our knees as we approach the Passover, maybe trembling a little bit, ask ourselves, and to the, what extent have we died daily? Do we die daily? Can we say, I die daily? Thank you.